This is Near FM
90.3.
I have a remarkable lady here this morning, Claire Barra. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Myra. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
No problem at all. Claire, I was telling our listeners earlier, you are an author and quite a successful author. You've written and produced and published over 18 books, if I'm right. And you're still writing away today, aren't you?
I'm busy, yes. But I was listening to your talk about the science fair earlier. Very impressive.
Oh.
I tried to attend.
Well, we're having a little bit of a technical problem here with equipment, but I have a wonderful young man here this morning that's absolutely been a godsend. But we're plodding along here. So look at how. When did you start publishing your own books?
In 2013, I had several books ready, so I brought out 7 that year, which obviously most people won't. I gained the writers and artists tax exemption the same year.
Oh my goodness. But 7 books. 7 books, yes. That's extraordinary. And had you published with a publishing company before that?
Well, I had been trying for a long time, and publishers had almost all just wasted my time, I'm afraid. You're told you should only submit to one publisher at a time, and then you never hear back, so that's a year of your life wasted.
Ah.
Plus, every postal pack had stamped return envelopes, so it used to cost me £20 when I was sending postal submissions. And that's my money, you know.
Oh, my God.
I had been winning prizes in short story contests and adding this to my submission letters, and I put together a whole series of 5 mysteries, but I don't believe now that they ever got read.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
One found the children's press was interested, but then they went out of business. And a few others returned my paper manuscripts because they went out of business. And
okay.
Nobody ever returned emails.
Oh,
so
for heaven's sake.
The publishing world was shrinking fast.
So Amazon publishing for yourself became a godsend then?
It did, especially as I had written science fiction, but there were unbelievably no science fiction publishers in Ireland. So I just had to go it alone as an independent publisher.
And was it as I said before, you had tried to go publishing the traditional way first. And when I said that you have written over 18 books, are all those 18 books available?
I have 18 books now available, yes. There's 4 science fiction books set in London. There's 6 mysteries in Ireland. 1 romantic suspense about Irish flat racing. 4 young adult stories and a few shorter books. And obviously I'm working on more.
Okay, you've just stunned me there. Sorry, Claire. I'm not too sure if I should have just put you on hold for a second and take a glass of water here because okay.
Well, you see, I should explain that I'm self-employed. I'm a tree surgeon. And there hasn't been a lot of work at different times. I mean, it's a seasonal job anyway, so I had the winters to write.
Whereas
all summer I'd be working all the hours of daylight. I couldn't write. I'd be too tired.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had the winters.
Oh, right. And so you're knuckled down. Oh, my goodness. And I'll have to talk to you about the tree. You've just flipped me over onto another subject that I want to interrogate you about, not interview you. It sounds wonderful. But I'll keep on track for this for the moment. Is the independent publishing process easy?
Well, for me, it was easy because I spent so long working towards the goal. I review books online for an American media site called Fresh Fiction. And that exposed me to a great deal of information, which I soaked up like a sponge. I'd also read widely and attended conventions and learned from other authors. Now, there's issues you have to do by yourself. So I recommend, now, if I say any technical terms and you don't understand them, just ask me, okay? I recommend buying your ISBNs from Nielsen. That's the number identifying every book. You don't have to buy an ISBN if you just publish on Kindle.
Oh, yes.
But every book will have one. So if Amazon applies the ISBN, Amazon is the publisher. Whoever applies it is the publisher. So you want to control your works, and you may want to sell them on different platforms. So buy a list of 10 numbers. They don't sell fewer. You need one for the e-book, one for the paperback, one for the hardback if there is one, one for the audiobook, so they get used. You also have to get an American tax number. But that's just form filling, which you can do with the form on Amazon because they want to help you. The American tax authorities, because Amazon is based in Seattle, they need to understand that you're an actual person, you're a legal entity, and that Amazon doesn't have to withhold tax from your earnings.
Oh my goodness.
So, if that happens, in order to actually publish, though, the actual publishing, you upload a Word doc to Amazon, you upload a cover which you have made, you fill out details, and you select a price, and you hit publish. Don't hold on too long trying to get the book perfect before you do this, because you can take it down, correct the spelling, and put it back up.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Another thing the traditional publishers won't do for you. They send the proofreading to India now because it's cheaper.
And
the paperback version is more awkward to compile, so I advise newcomers to start with e-books when they're publishing.
Oh my goodness, this is a world I have no idea about. So yeah, everything from Ireland is sent to India to read, proofread.
India. In America, it might be India or it might be the Philippines or somewhere like that. Anywhere that's cheaper is their attitude. And then when the manuscript comes back to the publisher, they send it to the author for checking. If there's more than 10, usually now, if there's more than 10 spellings you want corrected, you have to pay for them. That'll be in the contracts that the publisher will sign with the author. I'm my own publisher, I'm my own editor, I'm my own proofreader, I'm my own author. So
Oh my goodness. It is a lot of hard work, isn't it?
But you see, if you love writing, you can't not do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are people who treat it as a labour, or they're producing work, you know, for somebody, and that's why they write. But if you love writing, if you love creating, you can't not do it.
But I have to say, Claire, it is an extraordinary... you've just opened a Pandora's box there, and you've brought me from Ireland to America to India and back... And you've kind of also the ISB, which is
ISBN.
ISBN, yes, it is to let you know that it's your property, isn't it?
Yeah, it means that every book that's published gets one of these affixed to it, and that's how it can be tracked on catalogues, and libraries can request it, because there could be two books called My Holidays in Kerry by Mary Murphy. You know, so which one did the library want? Did it want the one that was published last year, or the one that was published 30 years ago?
Oh,
it wants the one with this ISBN.
Oh, right. Yes, I understand. Yes, now I understand. And what does someone absolutely need to get right? I mean, now you've been telling us now about the various stages to go and licenses, and to even go about this before you've actually even finished. What's the absolute, like the Bible, the absolute need to get right before you even sit down?
Well, the cover and the title. When you're publishing, when you're actually putting it up on Amazon, visit a major publisher website with many genres like Harlequin. These are what they call cookie cutter covers in America. You can see at a glance what genre a book it holds. You can see books of a series belong together, and you can see if it's for adults or teens or younger children in a different publisher. Harlequin doesn't do those. The writing has to be easy to read on the cover in a thumbnail image. That's a small one, because buyers spend 3 seconds looking at the cover on Amazon, the cover and the title and the blurb, before they either decide to look deeper or they move on. I take my own cover photos, and my husband makes the covers to my direction. Now, the title has to suit the genre. Check on Amazon and Google to see if there are other books by your title. If there are 6 books of that name, change it. Don't confuse the reader.
Oh, right.
So when you're starting to write your book, you'll have a title in mind at some point. It call it a working title until you're actually ready to publish, and then you do that checking. Also, your author name. If your name is James Patterson, I advise using your middle name. Ask yourself also if Americans will be able to spell it.
Okay. Right. Now, I have to say, this podcast goes around the world.
That's, you see, this is where I sell. I mean, do you want me
yes,
to sell?
No, 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 no. I'm just saying, but yes.
I sell worldwide.
Yes, yeah.
And this is the point.
Yeah. And what media and opportunities do you use to publish your? I mean, you obviously go on to Amazon, but is there other sites that you sell?
I only sell from Amazon. Now, you can, if you wish, you can sell through sites like Barnes and Noble and Kobo and the rest of them. But in Ireland, we don't have those available, so I don't bother. And if you only sell through Amazon, then you get to be signed up to Kindle Unlimited, which is when readers can read your book without actually buying it. It's like they borrow it. They're paying for the month, and they read any as many books as they want, including, you know, whatever university books or big publisher books are signed up to this. And then at the end of the month, they don't have the books anymore. So I actually make more money that way than I do now from sales.
From hardback.
But the main thing is my books are read in America, Canada, Australia, UK and Ireland. Those are the big English-speaking markets. And Germany is another huge market for me. And no major publisher is going to distribute your book as a new author, to all those markets. I've sold all around the world.
And for translation to Germany, or of course a lot of...
No, I don't translate. Yeah, the Germans speak perfect English.
I was about to say that.
And they love science fiction.
Yeah, I was just about to say they do. Claire, before
but
go on...
You were asking for media and other opportunities, though.
Yes.
Well, mainly books sell books, so write a series.
Ah, yes.
And there's little point in publicising your first novel, because if you do, the person who's already bought it has nowhere to go. Wait till you have a second book out. Then at the end of each book, I advertise my other books and I hand out bookmarks with my covers and web address and QR code. I had a number one bestseller and that promotes all my books. And I can make a book free to download for a few days and readers go on to buy more in the series if they like it.
What?
I have an author website and a seasonal author newsletter, but it's important not to spam people. And especially don't send out mails when everyone is getting hundreds of Black Friday emails, because they just get deleted. My main platform is goodreads.com. I blog there and I moderate groups and I do volunteer work and cataloguing. It's important to contribute to the site and not just promote. And I use LinkedIn, which is a professional site. I'm building credibility. And that's a major reason why I returned to college to take a multimedia journalism degree. I won in the National Student Media Awards in 2021 for blogging, 2022 for journalism. And I love publicity on traditional media, like the Dublin People newspaper, which has been very kind, and your good self with Lifeline and Radio Mara. See, posting web content is so easy and subjective that Google disregards it and gives way to more independent sources.
Ah, okay. Well, I have to say...
I don't use the platforms you might expect.
Mm. I think you're a marketing genius, quite honestly, and I'm just
why nobody's ever heard of me, right?
Well, you're there, 18 books, and you publish them yourself, and you've won awards and so forth. I think the amount of people in Ireland writing books is the per head of population. I think it's absolutely enormous. But this is can I just ask you, this is housekeeping now. If somebody just wants to get in touch with you and buy a book, they see it online, how can they do that? Have you got a website?
I have a website, and obviously to get my books online, they can go to Amazon and look for my name, Claire O'Bara. My website is www.claireobera.ie, and that's spelled C-L-A-R-E O father, B-E-A-R-A, and you can put an apostrophe in for the father.
That's brilliant.
I have a page which is dedicated to helping authors and helping them publish. I've also made a podcast for that, which is on my site. I've made book trailers too, by the way, for my science fiction books. My husband and I went to London and did a ton of filming, and I brought the film into college and used their Macs to make trailers. So... you know, multimedia is us, but you don't have to do all that just to get your book in print.
I know, Claire, but you're I have to tell you, you're an extraordinary woman.
Thank you.
I don't think the word no is something that you take lightly from any publishing house or very lightly from any other area. I think you're extraordinary. And
thank you.
I know it. How can somebody who has written a book learn all this publishing process? I mean, you say you give advice, ask advice from our... as you said before, that you're on the platforms and LinkedIn and Goodreads and the marketing. But if somebody's really starting out, should they just go onto Google and get more information from Googling the YouTubes or things like that?
Oddly enough, I am a bit wary of that because there are people who will come up and say, we'll publish your book.
Yes.
And what they do is they charge you money. And they will, sight unseen, say they'll publish your book, which might be the greatest pile of misspelled rubbish. They won't care.
I'm
not going to name any names, but if you actually Google this and Google monetizing the slush pile, you'll find what journalists have said about this when they explored the situation.
Okay.
That you know how large publishing houses would have a pile of random manuscripts that they decided they were never going to publish. So some people decided they'd make money out of that. So be very careful. Do not ever, unless that you're entering into a contract with somebody to be the cover author for your book or to provide a service like editing or something for your book, which you are publishing, do not ever pay someone to publish your book.
Oh my goodness, right. I hear that word strong.
That's very important.
Very important. What are you working on now, Claire, at the present moment?
Well, publishing process you were asking about. I have a page, as I said, on my website for helping writers. And you can read books. There's non-fiction books like Saving the Cat about writing screenplays. Anything you read like that will help you. And some authors make income from giving courses and talks on publishing. They're mainly directed towards dinosaur publishing. That's what we call the traditional publishers. But those big publishers now won't take anyone on unless they have thousands of followers on social media. Oh. And the authors are obliged to keep doing their own promotion.
All right.
Because the publishers don't do it. And if I did all that, I would have no time to write.
You wouldn't be able to do the ironing either.
Who does ironing?
Actually, very good.
So I recommend attending conventions like Octocon, the National Science Fiction Con. It's a great convention. You'll meet lots of people and have fun. You can take in panels with various authors and illustrators speaking, and everyone wants to help you. And you can take evening classes and college courses on creative writing and journalism. You can pick up skills like graphic design on YouTube and so on. At present, I'm on the third of a series called The Irish Lockdown. It's about 13-year-olds coping with the changes in society. And first was A Pony for Quarantine, about a girl whose younger brother is on the autism spectrum. That went to number 6 on Amazon last year for books dealing with disability. Second is A Dog for Lockdown, and I've actually made that free for your listeners today and tomorrow. That's free to download from Amazon.
That's very...
It'll stay free just for those 2 days, but once you've got it, you've got it. Read and enjoy.
Well, Claire, our time is beginning to just run out, and I'm going to say I want to go back to housekeeping, as I call it again, to get onto your webpage, please, again, if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners again.
No problem. www.clareobera.ie, and it's on the webpage, it's OBEARA.
Claire O'Bara, thank you very much for coming on to Near FM. I'm going to come back to you again to talk about trees, but that's another day. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day, and we will talk to you again very soon. Have a good Christmas, Claire, okay? And many thanks.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye now.
Near FM.